Well, show, it's not you, it's me. Welcome to Jays Talk. I'm Julia Kreutz here in baseball control in downtown Toronto. Just me tonight. Show Ellie was smart enough to take a few days off here as the Blue Jays get swept by the Astros, a 3-1 loss to Houston, their fifth loss in a row. And the troubles in this one were pretty well known. We'll break it all down. We'll also take your calls. You can take your texts. 590-590 is the text line. Please don't forget to leave your name and location. We've got a couple of texts in already, and we'll sure get to them in just a moment. And to clarify, Show Ali, who has way too much time in his hands, went back and checked the score on all the pregame and postgame shows that we have done together over the years. And it turns out that the Blue Jays have way more losses than wins when it's me and him behind the mic. And listen, I was looking forward to telling Show that this was kind of proof that he was the problem. Maybe the Blue Jays mount a comeback in the ninth. They certainly had the chance against Josh Hader, but no, that did not happen. And so here we are. Maybe the problem is me, but we will take a closer look at this one. I don't think there's any other place to start, really, other than the offense. You kind of look at what happened today and just how, again, how common these problems have been for the Blue Jays. It's not just runners in scoring position anymore. It's the fact that there's just no, absolutely no power in this lineup right now. Of the hits the Blue Jays got tonight, and if I'm not mistaken, it was four or five here, five hits on the night, one of them for extra base hits, and that was, of course, George Springer's RBI double early on. Well, two, actually, they did add a second one in the ninth inning, but this is just becoming a very, very well-known problem, which is they're completely unable to put the ball in the air right now, it seems. So even when there's hard hit contact, and that we saw a little bit of today too. You have Bo Bichette hitting a ball hard that you know doesn't leave the ballpark and things along those lines. It seems like everything is just a bit off for this offense, and that is those are the results that you are going to get when that is the case. Listen, yes, Bowden Francis got into a little bit of trouble in the second inning, allowing three runs. We can look at that as well, and we will. But this was very much a winnable game for the Blue Jays when you look at the fact that the pitching kept them in it. Despite allowing 13 runs here, Francis bounced back. John Schneider brought out the highest leverage relievers that you're going to find in that Blue Jays bullpen. And again, the offense unable to capitalize. It was definitely encouraging to see, you know, it come alive a little bit in that ninth inning against Josh Hader. Obviously an important point in the game, but this is what we're talking about. It's fewer than two outs. There was one out when Alejandro Kirk came up to the plate, runners on second and third. The Blue Jays are actually, they have been over the season pretty good at scoring the runner from third base with fewer than two outs in an inning. And that is the problem with what we're seeing right now, is the fact that that seems to have eluded them as well. A contact heavy team is not being able to find those hits, even if they're singles, in the big moments in the way that that we saw today in the ninth. So a lot to break down there. We can definitely, you know, if you want to start with a positive, you can look at George Springer and the fact that, yes, he keeps swinging the ball well. We saw a little bit of a lineup change. This is not necessarily new because Springer was batting cleanup earlier in the series as well. But this seems to be now a little bit of a more permanent solution for the Jays. This is the guy who is actually swinging the bat well here. It's George Springer. And so why not have him in the cleanup spot? And I will still make the argument that maybe you can look at George Springer as your leadoff hitter again. We will talk a little bit later about Bo Bichette and how he stands and where he stands when it comes to the leadoff spot and the fact that he only saw four pitches today. But starting with Springer, this is obviously a guy who understands the issues of this team right now. He's been around for a while. He is he's been an all-star. He's been a World Series MVP. All of that is on display when he's taking his at-bats right now. They have been a pretty good at-bats in the sense that He seems to be in control, first of all, of the heartbeat, second of all, of what he's trying to do. He's whiffing a little bit more, it is true, but he's whiffing with a consciousness that this is what he has to do to put himself in a good position to get ahead of the ball and to actually drive it and put a good swing on. That is what we saw in that fourth inning when he hit that RBI double. And, you know, you have to give credit to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. as well in a play like that, in which he is at first base. Jose Altuve is playing left field, so you know that you can test that arm. He hasn't been playing there for a very long time. And so, yeah, you're going to score from first. You see the hustle there. You see the fact that the Blue Jays also understand that they need to get something going at a time where maybe things are not going their way and it is difficult to swing the bat, but you have a potentially game-changing moment right there. You have a potentially tide-shifting moment when, you know, you're hauling from first and you have a George Springer hitting the ball hard in the way that he did. Nothing comes after that. And that is, again, something that we kind of saw all series. This is the fifth loss in a row. This is not the first time that the Blue Jays have failed to score, failed to show up, even with runners in scoring position. We're not asking them to even hit a home run per game here. But the fact of the matter is that there needs to be a little bit more production, a little bit more substantial production from this Blue Jays offense here. Let's get to a few texts. There's no name in this one, but someone says, Jules, George Springer is batting 200 over the past 10 games. He had a good start, but he has slowed down dramatically. Listen, I have to agree with that, but you look at this series, the offense that you got came from George Springer, and the regression is going to come in the same way that you hear John Schneider sort of say, listen, guys are going through it the right way. We trust the process. We believe that this is this is Shane in Brockville. Thanks for texting in, Shane. Appreciate that. But I get what you're saying. It is true. Springer has certainly regressed. But when you look at the production and the way that things are going right now, he has to be your guy. He just has to be your guy. Can he be that person, that producer for the entire season? No, he cannot. But whatever it is that the Blue Jays are doing offensively right now goes through George Springer. Whether that's yesterday when you see him stealing two bases in a single inning to try to make something happen, acting a little bit like a merchant of chaos, as I put it with Blake Murphy on Jays Talk Plus. Whether it's today with an RBI double in a moment where the game still seemed pretty much within reach for the Jays, I get it. He's going to regress, as are other guys in this lineup, probably going to start hitting a little bit better eventually. But this is it. This is George Springer is your guy right now. And if that is the case, why not give him a few more at bats? Which leads me actually to, you know, a second point here, which is I've been talking about this a little bit more recently, but I think it might be time to move on from Bo Bichette in the leadoff spot. He just doesn't seem, first of all, he doesn't seem comfortable in his at-bats right now. And the aggressiveness is actually coming back to bite not only him, but the Blue Jays a little bit. It's easy to see that in a game like today in which he had four at-bats and he saw four pitches. The last one, yes, resulted in a single there. But that was pretty much it. All the other three at-bats that Bo Bichette had resulted in an out. That is, frankly, what is contributing to so many of these starters. And like Chris said, these are good starters. But that is what's contributing to so many of these starters cruising through quality starts, or in Gusto's case, almost a quality start. He left a little bit before the end of the sixth inning, but with very, very low pitch counts. There's a reason why when you look for a leadoff hitter, you look for a guy who can see a lot of pitches, give your lineup a little bit of a chance, or the rest of your lineup a little bit of a chance to see what that pitcher has on any given night. And that is just not happening right now with Bo Bichette, because that is not the hitter that he is. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. There obviously is a place or exists a place for Bo Bichette in this lineup. I just don't believe that it should be the leadoff spot with the way that things are going right now. The Blue Jays need runners on base. They need to string together a few good at-bats in which they actually ride up the pitch count of the starter. Just don't seem to be able to do that. It's obviously not all on Bo Bichette, don't get me wrong, but this is something that you have to consider with when it has been, frankly, this long that things have not been going well. Scoring early was a point of emphasis pretty much from the get-go. That was something that John Schneider sort of circled even before the season started in his pre-opening day media conference. The Blue Jays know that this is what needs to happen, and it just doesn't seem like they are going to get there with this lineup construction. Again, I'm not trying to put this all on Bo Bichette. He's actually been producing pretty well for the Jays. He has been one of the more consistent hitters in this lineup. I'm just not sure that this is the spot for him. And we know that the Blue Jays are trying to be a little more creative this season. They are trying to stay flexible and to really go with what the situation and what the moment in the game calls for. If that is the case, now is the time to take a serious look at the top of this lineup and figure out what else can be done here. That goes to, I'm talking about Bo. I'm also talking about George Springer, who, you know, I'm not saying that he should be the leadoff hitter for the rest of the season, but I am saying, why not give it a try? If things are kind of going a little bit in the way that they're going right now. And it goes for Anthony Santander right now, who does seem to be a little bit lost at the plate. He sat out yesterday's ball game. John Schneider called it a breather, quote unquote. Maybe a little bit of an attempt here to get a guy like Santander back on track. Didn't work. And he still seems to be swinging at pitches that are not his pitches. Three strikeouts today. He's now hitting 189 in the season, 559 OPS. People are getting tired of hearing about the slow starter that he is. We realize that that is the case. We realize that the OPS just darts up in the next month, but the Blue Jays need wins. Right now, they're 12-13, so they're back under 500. The division is not getting any easier. There's just really a lot to consider when it comes to this offense. And, you know, the most of the texts that we're getting here are pretty much just the same sort of sentiment, right? Jeff from Peterborough, the Blue Jays need help in the lineup. And Jeff, to your point, you're saying here, Bo Bichette should sign a long-term deal just like Vlad did. That is still obviously the hope. We can see that Bichette has been an important presence in this lineup for the Blue Jays. I think that your first point is it should be the main point here. The Blue Jays need help in the lineup. How soon is too soon to start thinking about the trade deadline? Is this something that we're going to see some movement out of? There's definitely a need for it. And if this is the identity of the team and it's just not working right now, then that is definitely something that that should be addressed come trade deadline. Of course, the shopping list is going to be pretty large for the Blue Jays, as it is for any playoff team. You are looking at another, probably another bullpen arm that can get some swings and misses. With the way that things are going with the rotation, you may need to look at bringing in another starter, but I still believe that the main point of emphasis here for the trade deadline should be just a slugging third baseman. That seems to be what is missing from the Jays lineup right now. And then if you have a ton of guys hitting singles and, you know, just getting on base and wreaking havoc on the bases, you're probably okay with that. But you need to know that you have a legitimate thumper in that lineup who can change the course of a game with one swing. There was the hope that Anthony Santander would be that guy. Hasn't been the case so far. There is always hope that expectation that Vladdy is going to turn it around, and he will. He'll probably end up with 30 home runs, as will Santander. This is kind of what we're expecting from them, but it hasn't happened yet, and it raises the question of, is there enough in this lineup right now to actually sustain a playoff run. That remains to be seen, and the Blue Jays may very well have to take it to the trade deadline, or to the trade market, rather, to find something that will allow them to put some more runs on the board here. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Tom is telling me that we have a caller here. This is great. So we'll go to it's Dave from North Vancouver who's calling in. Let's see what Dave wants to talk about. How's it going, Dave?
Very good. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you.
I just had a quick comment and a question for you. I guess the comment is picking up what you were just saying a moment ago about how, the talk about slow start and small sample size is kind of wearing thin. I think that's true for a couple reasons. And, you know, Santander specifically, maybe it's not his fault directly, but, you know, at least from my perspective as a fan watching the team, this is the third year in a row where there's been a lackluster offense, and it feels like sort of the same problems over and over. So, you know, from a macro level, you know, when I hear kind of talk of small sample size, et cetera, it just kind of makes me roll my eyes, and I'm probably not alone in that regard. My question, I guess, I apologize for being redundant because you were talking about Bo Bichette a bit earlier, but, you know, the issue of leadoff spot aside, it just, I admit, sometimes I get frustrated watching him in his aggressiveness, and I wonder if, I just can't help but think that, you know, despite all of the success that he's already had, you know, I could picture Bo Bichette, you know, when he retires from baseball in many years from now, giving an interview and being asked if you could go back in time and say something to younger self. I wonder if he'll say, boy, I wish I was just a little bit less aggressive and saw more pitches and forced the pitcher into the heart of the plate earlier in my career. maybe he might think that upon reflection. Just want to get your thoughts on, you know, leaving aside the issue of whether he should move out of the leadoff spot, just a general matter. I know being aggressive is kind of his thing, and it's, you know, on the one hand, that's probably part of his strength, but I just feel like he could tone it down by, you know, 25%, be a little less aggressive and ultimately be even a better hitter than he is and see better pitches and drive the ball more than he's been doing lately. Appreciate your comments.
Hey, Dave, thank you so much. I think that is a great point. And it may come, right? Bichette is still, we kind of forget how young these guys are, and we kind of forget that maybe they have not reached their peak yet. And that may just be something that Bo figures out for himself a little bit later in his career that really allows him to unlock another level to his game. He has done it before, and that is kind of encouraging as well. He's always going to swing at pitches outside the zone because he knows he can get to them. But I agree with you. I think that might be maybe a little bit of a next step for Bichette. And if he can sort of master that a little bit, then we will probably see more from Bichette in a little bit more just all around offense from a guy like that. We will take a quick break now. We will take more of your calls and more of your texts when we are back. But this is Jays Talk, and I'm Julia Kreutz.
You understand that it's a long season, you know, and you try not to deviate from the norm too much. These guys, I mean, the way they, you know, battled this whole series, the way they hung in there today, and you're one swing away from tying it or take the lead, you know, it's you trust them. You know, it's tough. It's a tough stretch. It's a tough series, but you know, you can't panic by any means. You know, it's way too early to be talking about doing anything drastic, and it takes one game to get out of it, really.
That was manager John Schneider after the Blue Jays' 3-1 loss to the Houston Astros. They have now lost 5 games in a row and not a lot of offense to be talked about over that losing streak. It's time now for the Bet365 standings update. Download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19 plus, play responsibly. Ontario only. Okay, let's take a look at the AL East then before we take some more calls and take a look at some more texts here. The Yankees won today. They beat the Guardians 5-1 in the afternoon. They're now 15-10. Pretty comfortable lead in the division right now. But the Boston Red Sox, who lost today, they've been pretty good over the last little stretch. They're now 14-12. Second place in the AL East, the Blue Jays with the loss today went to 12-13, so they are under 500. Third place in the division, the Orioles coming in at fourth, tied with the Rays right now, although the Rays are still playing the D-backs, but Baltimore dropping another one, three losses in a row for them. That game was against the Nationals. 9-14 record, a record that they share with the Rays right now, although keep in mind again that Tampa Bay is still playing right now. They're facing the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that was the Bet365 standings update. Obviously still the division is still very much in play. There's a lot of baseball left to be played in the season, but it would be nice for the Blue Jays not to allow all that much separation for the Yankees as well as the Red Sox now if things continue to trend the way that they are. We do have some more calls. I believe Guy and Maple is waiting in line too. So Guy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Julia, good evening. The last caller was bang on. I think, you know, 3 years of not being able to add some power into this lineup. You know, Santander is a nice piece, and yeah, he'll come around, but they needed more than just one power bat, especially, you know, during a time where averages are down. I mean, those singles and doubles don't happen as often, and you need the home run to manufacture runs. I mean, that's the way baseball is today. There, the pitching's a lot better. However, saying that, it all comes down to ownership, hiring Shapiro, who's never won a thing in his life, you know, hiring Atkins, who's never won a thing in his life, and then him hiring two inexperienced managers, who probably the two worst that I've seen. And, you know, I just, it's the same crop every year. I mean, it's like you have a little bit of hope, and yeah, it's, you know, all you hear is it's too early, and, you know, he's too laid back. I mean, as a manager, you know, I prefer to see someone else in there, to be honest, but we're not going to win anything with these guys running stuff. I mean, they've never won anything in 30 years, kind of like our franchise now. We haven't won anything since 93. And it's very frustrating. And my question is, you know, you're talking a bit about, you know, maybe trades and whatnot. I think they really need to go after a team like maybe Oakland, you know, who's, you know, playing in a temporary stadium and has all the pieces we need, I think, to compete, whether it be a Rooker and a Miller in the back end of the bullpen and maybe even a Langliers. I know it would cost you half your farm system, but you know what? This is a year where there might not be a team that wins 95 games in this in the American League. I'll hang up and listen, and you're doing a great job, by the way.
Hey, Keith, thank you so much. I appreciate the call, and I do think a lot of people – share your frustration right now in sort of seeing, you know, how last year went and where we are right now. Is it all on the manager? I don't believe that. And when you hear John Schneider speak, he obviously has a very, very specific style of leadership. This is a guy who came up in the minors and he managed in the minors a lot. So maybe there's some of that in how you hear him talk about process and about trusting his guys and, you know, more of that laid back approach when it comes to his players. So this is obviously you kind of look at the grand scheme of things. You can pinpoint certain situations, certain moments in which, you know, yes, you can look at the manager and say that was just a wrong decision or that was just the wrong thing to say in that moment. But I definitely don't, I wouldn't count out John Schneider just yet. To your point about just, you know, how to address what's happening right now on the field specifically and where to go to find those pieces, I think that's a good point. There are teams out there that obviously have what the Blue Jays are looking for, and the Blue Jays should be able to sort of scrape together enough prospect capital to swing some trades. However, when you have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. signed to a $500 million deal over 14 seasons, it's not really just about this year anymore. It's funny that we have entered a little bit of a different point in how we think about these Blue Jays, because everything was riding on this season before that deal, and now the contention window is pretty much wide open. There's no off-ramp anymore. So Yeah, it will be fascinating to see what the Blue Jays do when trade season arrives, because it is clear that if this team wants to go a little bit farther, it does need reinforcements. You're just not necessarily looking at this moment anymore and thinking, this is it. They need to win in 2025, and it is worth it to completely dismantle the farm system in order to do it. That will definitely be a pretty fascinating storyline to watch as we go. We do have a couple more callers, if I'm not mistaken. Ross in New Jersey is waiting here. Wants to talk about Bo Bichette. Is that right, Ross?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't – people get on the manager. Managers don't make 30-game differences or 20-game differences. Is John Schneider the best manager? Maybe not. But it's not. This is not about John Schneider tonight, and it hasn't been. It's about an offense that can hit. Bo Bichette swung at the first pitch, had four plate appearances, and saw four pitches. He got out in the first three pitches he saw and hit. You can't have that. You can't have a guy come off the bench. And I give you Springer a break, because Springer does work the count. First pitch, take a pitch. The first guy that came out of the pen, it took him eight pitches to get four guys out. You're down two runs. Come on, take a pitch. Maybe he walks somebody. Maybe he makes it. But these guys, they have no idea what they're doing at the plate. Bichette can hit the homer at a ball 50 feet out of the strike zone. But the bottom line is he has no patience at the plate. Four pitches. I've never seen any. Four at-bats, four pitches, four swings. It's ridiculous. It's just crazy. We did not. There's no idea when they get to the plate, some of these guys, of what they want to do. It's a free swinging batting cages. That's what it is.
Really quickly, Ross. Do you agree with me that it might be time to move on from Bichette in the leadoff spot here?
Bichette. You can't forget the guy. The guy did, as much as he frustrates people, He did lead the league in hits. He's a great hitter. It's not about, you know, you can move this guy to one and this guy to six and this guy to four. It doesn't make the difference. If guys aren't getting hits at key opportunities, here you had the ninth inning, it wasn't Bichette. You know, it was Alejandro Kirk, who couldn't get a big hit since the season started. You had second and third, one out. You had a chance. I know Hader's a great pitcher. He's a great closer. But you didn't get the hit. It's not where you put the people. Yeah, it makes a little bit of a difference. But it's not about Bichette hitting one seventh or not. It's about this team collectively cannot hit. And this isn't new for this year. This was going on last year for a lot, most of the year. It's just not an offensive team. You know, like you said, Guerrero's going to come around. He's going to hit some homers. Santander's going to hit some homers. But this team, you know, people talking about Dalton Varsho's going to come back and be a good offensive player. He's not a good offensive player. He's a bad offensive player. He strikes out. He's a great defender, but that's not going to help you. I don't know what to do anymore. But like the guy said before, Atkins and Shapiro have been a total disaster. Just a disaster.
Yeah, we've been talking a little bit, Ross. Thank you so much for your call. You know, even with Blake Murphy and Sho, honestly, over the week and on the weekends, we have been talking a little bit more about the identity of this team, I guess, and kind of what we are to expect legitimately from this offense. Even if everything goes according to plan here, it does not look like this team is going to hit a ton of home runs or is going to hit it for a lot of power. That's just not how they're built. And that's okay as long as everyone is actually doing their job and doing all of the little things that led the Blue Jays, frankly, to win a bunch of games earlier in the season. It is okay for the identity of this team to not be just a power hitting, you know, the way that it was, the way that we remember it a few seasons ago. That is fine. But that means that when it comes time to hit that big single, you actually need to hit the single, especially when it comes with fewer than two guys out and all of the things that we kind of went through over the first segment here. So, yeah, definitely a definitely something to consider as well. When you kind of look at what the Blue Jays are doing right now, it's the fact that this may just be what we're in for, but it still needs to work. We have one more caller, I believe. That's Joseph in Chicago. Joseph, what's on your mind?
Hey, Julia. Thanks so much for everything you're doing on Blue Jays Talk and Blue Jays Talk Plus. Love having you on here. But I think, to me, from a Blue Jays perspective, I agree with Russ and Guy. I feel like we're on game 349 of 2023, right? I've got a great Blue Jays chat group here. Shout out to Sean and Tyler. But Sean reached out to me today and said, you know, we should bring up Aurelvis, right? We need righty options off the bench. And I started looking at Aurelvis's numbers, and he's got, you know, a 437 OPS, which would be the worst on the Blue Jays right now. And it's AAA numbers, right? So what I see from that is we literally have no one that can come up and support the big league, you know, roster. In fact, half of our big league roster really should be sent down, right? Like, they're underperforming. I think we have three players that have over an 80 OPS plus, and not a single player from the minors that can come up. And I just think, like, you know, we've got 8 26 men on our roster, and they're all position players. We have a top five payroll. How do we get to this? How do we have such a poor offensive major league showing and no one that can come up and support these players? I just want to know, how do we get to this and how do we get out of it?
The thank you so much for your call again, Joseph. The payroll portion of it was very reminiscent of Kevin Barker, who has really made that point of how has this roster been constructed, and how did the Blue Jays end up here with, you know, the options of Ernie Clement and Will Wagner at third base. I know I said it a little bit earlier in the show. Just, you know, I do believe that the first priority of this team in come trade season should be just a slugging third baseman, because you do need that guy. You do need a guy who can do the damage that the Blue Jays were talking about early on in the season, or even, you know, during spring training and all of that. There was a lot of talk about, you know, trying new things and actually taking advantage of the big pitches or the hittable pitches in moments when there is runners in scoring position and things along those lines. And you just haven't seen that with any consistency, really. And it's just going to, there will come a point where either things significantly change for the guys who are here right now. And again, I do expect them to significantly change. Will it be enough? I don't know. But Santander is not going to hit the way that he's hitting for the rest of the season. Guerrero will eventually find his power. That is something that we have also seen from him early in seasons before, and that's usually when he starts to press. That's usually when he starts to swing at pitches that are not his pitches to hit, and it becomes a little bit of a problem. But yeah, you look at the farm system and the way that the guys are producing, and the fact that the potentially game-changing guys are still a few years away, where else can you look other than the trade market at this point in the season? I'm loath to look back on the Blue Jays offseason and consider it a failure. You miss out on Juan Soto and Roky Sasaki, and those were big whiffs. They really were. But the Blue Jays were committed to making this team a more well-rounded team. We are seeing on the pitching side, obviously, how much that commitment is paying off. The Blue Jays entered this game third in strikeouts by the bullpen. It kind of surprised me to see that their ERA was just 13th best in the league entering this game. It's probably going to improve after this game against the Astros. But that is a completely reconstructed bullpen, which shows you that the Blue Jays were committed to actually improving in the offseason. Did they do enough on the offensive side? I don't think they did. And that is kind of why we are where we are. We all knew that April was going to be a very, very difficult month. The Blue Jays have faced some really good starting pitching, and the Astros bullpen, frankly, looked really good over this series as well. But guess what? Come October, it's going to be all good pitchers all the time. So this is kind of a snapshot of what you can expect later on if this team makes the postseason, and you need the guy who will be the difference maker. The Jays haven't had that in a few years, but it's starting to look more and more like I still expect them to play October baseball here. And if that is indeed the case, you're going to need a thumper. There's just no way around it. This series showed that again. Five consecutive losses for the Blue Jays. They fall under 500 again. They're now 12-13, third place in the AL East. And a series against the New York Yankees coming up on the weekend. The Yankees, you know, not necessarily doing everything that we expected them to do. Their pitching is faltering, and maybe this will be somewhat of a good opportunity for the Blue Jays to get back on track. When you look at, you know, yes, Max Fried looks like an absolute ace, but other than that, there's just, you know, a ton of kind of nothing there. They're not throwing the ball particularly hard or fast, and they're allowing quite a few runs on a day-to-day basis. So this may be a good opportunity for the Blue Jays to sort of get back on track offensively. And when it comes to pitching, it's kind of just do more of what you're doing. The Blue Jays are skipping, obviously, that fifth starter for this series. The schedule kind of allows them to do that at this point. So we will see the best starters come out for the Blue Jays at Yankee Stadium. That said, no matter how you slice it, a series at Yankee Stadium is going to be a tough one. So this is definitely something to look out for. It's going to be a very, very fun series. The Blue Jays will be at Yankee Stadium, and I'll be back with Blake Murphy for pre- and post-game coverage during the weekend. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Rhinefeld, Manitoba, and Kenora. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I'm Julia Kreutz for Tom Young, Nick Blackmore, Chris LaRue, and Eric Smith on the call. We'll talk to you later.